I'd like you to turn with me to Psalms 91 this morning. Praise God. You know, we are living in unprecedented times, not only around the world, where there is a villainy that has capability that has never existed before. There's always been villains and villainous countries, rogue nations, people who are driven by the devil, motivated by the devil. But never before have these kinds of nations had the kind of capability that they have today with the technology to annihilate millions. So to say that we live in a dangerous world is definitely an understatement. Not only are these unprecedented times internationally, they are unprecedented for us in our own country because, as you know, this is not the same America you grew up in. Things have changed and changed so quickly, so dramatically, that it's almost unrecognizable the way things have changed. It seems to me that our media, and I'm talking about almost all of the media, rare exceptions, but the media and the government has been hijacked by a very vocal and very perverse minority. And the media just fawns all over them. They are willing pawns in their hands to promote an anti-God agenda, anti-Christian agenda. You know, who would have ever thought that in the new America, you could be fired from your job for teaching a Sunday school class in your own church and teaching that homosexuality is sinful. Now, in your own church teaching that, who would have believed that you could be fired from your job for doing that? Say, Brother Rusty, it can't happen here. Well, it already has happened. In fact, it happened to the fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia, who was fired by the mayor because he had the audacity to believe and to teach that homosexuality was sin. Now this, in a Sunday school class that he taught men, the privacy of their own church. That's the new America. Who would have believed that the mayor of a major city would issue subpoenas to churches demanding that they surrender their sermons because they wanted to examine them to see if they were anti-homosexual. Say, it can't happen in America. It happened in Houston, Texas. Caused a firestorm. And she wound up having to back off of her demand. But the fire, the cannon has been shot across the bow to let us know what's ahead. HGTV canceled a home improvement show recently because the stars of the show, they found out, believe the Bible. So we can't have these people on TV. They canceled the show. You probably heard that the CEO of Mozilla Corporation was fired because he supported a bill that supported traditional marriage. It's a major corporation. Fired because simply because he supported a bill that promoted traditional marriage. And as Brother Dave mentioned, and if you've seen the newspapers or heard the news, in Kentucky, we have a county clerk of court in jail because of her faith in Christ. refusing to follow a Supreme Court mandate that she issue same-sex marriage license. She don't want her name associated with it. She's a Christian. Her name is on the licenses. And whatever you may think of her, I would stand with her 100%, 1,000%.
Amen. You're right.
And I applaud her convictions. She's in jail for it. I applaud the stand. She's got more guts than all the politicians and who won't stand up to this rabid, militant homosexual agenda. But I'll tell you this, the stage has been set, a precedent has been set. That you can expect more of the same. These are interesting times to be a Christian. How far ahead do you think we have to look before you see churches being stripped of their tax exemption for refusing to accommodate same-sex marriage? And how far do you think it'll be before they arrest street preachers for preaching homosexuality as sin, or anybody else? Let me tell you, this is a changing America. In the new America, it can be a crime to believe the Bible, at least if you stand on what you believe. How long will it be before it'll be a crime to preach the Bible? I don't think that's too far in advance. We are living in tumultuous times, as you know. I watched the news just a little bit this morning, and they had some of the major cities listed. They were talking to the chiefs of police, and guess what? Murder is 70% above last year in some of these major cities. Right here in New Orleans, it's 22% above what it was this time last year. All over the nation, we are having an increase in murder, mayhem, terrorism right on our own streets. This isn't even mentioning the threat of foreign terrorism.
Right.
Our stock market, as you know, stands on very wobbly legs, like rubber legs. I mean, you never know whether it's going to stand or fall from one day to the next. It had the largest fall just a week or so ago, unprecedented fall in one day. Racial tension is higher in America right now than it's been at any time since the 1960s.
Yep.
I tell you, these are times of intolerance,
right.
Times of anger, times of hostility.
Amen.
Perilous times, the Bible said, would come in the last days. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Our police are under attack all over America. It's a dangerous time to be a police. Not since the 1970s have we seen police targeted like this and singled out for execution simply because they wear a badge and a uniform. We are becoming increasingly intolerant and angry as a society. And the honest truth is there's a threat of terrorism over America. It's thick in the air. It's as thick as New Orleans humidity. It's tangible. It's palpable. And we haven't seen the end of it, to be sure.
Amen.
The Bible says that the last days would be fearful days, and that men's hearts would be failing them for fear. That's how the Bible describes the last days. Where can we run? Where can we hide? So many perils, perils in the Gulf of Mexico, perils in the Atlantic Ocean. People in the South, they say, we got to get out of this low-lying flood land. Let's move to the north. They move to the plains where the tornadoes wreak havoc upon everything. So let's move to the west where the wildfires burn everything up and earthquakes shakes the mountains down. Where will you move? Where will you move to get away from sickness and disease and the possibility of terrorism? Where will we hide? I'm glad you asked that question. Because there is only one place where we can be safe in a tumultuous world. On a perilous planet, one place of safety, one and one only. And the Bible describes it right here in Psalms 91.
Thank you, Lord.
Psalms 91, that's our passage today. Herbert Henry Booth, back, this is the son of William and Catherine Booth, you know, the founders of the Salvation Army, famous for their evangelism, for their hearts for souls, for their outreaches in several nations. Well, their son, Herbert Henry, if you ever see in an old hymn book, hymns under the name H.H. Booth, that's who this is. He wrote dozens of hymns. One of the hymns he wrote, Savior, Hear Me, was the name of the hymn. It has this phrase in it, and I want you to remember this phrase because I'm going to use it as the title for a series of messages we begin today. But this phrase in that hymn said, all the rivers of thy grace I claim, on every promise write my name. On every promise write my name. You know, this Bible contains not dozens, not hundreds, but thousands of promises. Thousands of promises. Amen. And I love the heart of H.H. Booth, who said, all the rivers of your mercy I claim, and on every promise, write my name. Write my name. Write my name on your promise, Lord. Well, you know, this is what we have to do personally. We must write our name on the promises of God. Amen. Psalms 91 is a promise. Somebody counted 33 promises here. I didn't count them myself, but I'd say that's probably a pretty good count. 33 promises in this psalm. But can I tell you, if you don't write your name on it and make it yours, then it's just inspiring. But like the hymnist said, on every promise, write my name. I want you to write your name on this promise. Because we live in fearful times. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. We have bars over our windows and guns under our pillows, and still we're not safe. Here is where safety is. Psalms 91, let's read it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a psalm. What promises we have here. I can't tell you how many times I have claimed the promises of Psalms 91, claiming there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. can't tell you how many times I have paced the floor with a sick child in my arms, claiming the promises of God, trusting in the Almighty to deliver and to heal. Now, you know, there are multitudes who will say, you can't just claim these things. This is a messianic psalm. This isn't something you can appropriate. But, you know, the promises and this psalm indicates that you can appropriate it. Because notice the very opening verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the mighty, of the Almighty. He that dwells. This is an open proposition. It would extend to anyone and everyone who will dwell. Dwell. Who will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the idea of dwelling, you know, is to abide, to remain, to stay, to dwell. Not just to visit occasionally. Like some people, you know, attend church occasionally. Some people open their Bible occasionally. Or, you know, maybe when things are going bad or whatever. But let me tell you, this promise is not for everybody.
Nope.
It's not. It's not for everybody. I'll go further than that. This promise is not even for every Christian.
Amen.
It's for those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Because many Christians are up and down, in and out. They vacillate. They're like yo-yos. But he that dwelleth, the idea, dwell, remain, stay, abide. And if it's true for one, then it can be true for you. Because it's open. It's an open proposition. He that dwelleth, that means it's for everyone. All the time. He that dwelleth in the secret place. He calls us to abide there, in that secret place of the Most High. And you know, the secret place would be an obvious reference to the holy place, the Holy of Holies, the most intimate and personal place where God's presence dwells. A lot of times Christians are happy to just remain on the fringes. The fringes of all things Christian. A little bit of Christianity is enough. But to dwell in the secret place is to go beyond the superficial, beyond even the ordinary, and to move into abiding in the presence of God. You know, he invites us into his presence. Hebrews chapter 10, he tells us we have access, we have boldness to enter into the very holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are invited, therefore, to come boldly, to come in. In fact, he says, we can come in full assurance of faith. We can come into that holy place. Of course, dwelling in that holy place, we recognize ourselves for what we are, flawed, broken individuals. So many things are exposed when we are before the Lord. It's why so many Christians hang around the fringes. Y'all following me?
Yeah.
They hang around the fringes instead of entering into the very secret place of the Most High where he invites us, where he bids us come. Come and worship. Come and pray. But when we come into that presence, you know, we have to be like the apostles. Woe is me. We have to be like Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among unclean people.
Amen.
We have to be like Peter, who says, depart from me, Lord. I'm an unclean man. We have to be broke. We know we're broken. We know we're flawed. We know we're exposed. But we're also repentant. You know, the wonderful thing about all of this is that God has not banished us from his presence. Isn't that amazing? All the things we've done, the thoughts we've allowed, the words we've spoken, the stupid actions that we've done, or the things we've left undone, he still has not banished us from his presence. Still, he invites us in. And here's something that we must recognize. God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He has not turned away from you. Things can sometimes look pretty grave, but he has not turned away. In fact, he invites you in. He that dwelleth in the secret place. There's a psalm, Psalms 31 and verse 20. It says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." The secret of thy presence. That secret place. God will hide them, cover them, shelter them, protect them. Let's remember the veil has been torn. And you have free access into the very presence of the Almighty. And we can go there. You can go there by the blood of Jesus. Not in your own merit. Not because you're a nice person. Not because you do things for God. You go there by the blood of Jesus. We always go by the blood. Lord, by your blood, I come before you. Lord, by the blood of Jesus, I enter your presence. Lord, I come by faith. Lord, see me, forgive me, heal me, deliver me, change me. Let me abide in this secret place with you. Now, you can't do that and not be transformed. And all who so do, the Bible says, they shall abide, verse 1. They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're sheltered by omnipotence. Kept safe and secure in the divine shadow. The idea of the shadow, you know, where you go, your shadow follows. Your shadow doesn't ever go walking away without you. It's right there where you are. And the idea of this is abiding under the shadow of the Almighty is that the Lord is right there. And we are in his shadow, right there with him, sheltered, safe, secure from all harm. In this most holy place, it would seem that in that holy of holies, the most conspicuous thing I think that would catch your eye if you were to enter past that torn veil would be a mercy seat on top of which were two great cherubim, wings extended. How can you not see that picture in a passage like this? It could be what inspired the psalmist to just declare how safe we are in the presence of the Almighty. What can harm us there? Of course, the idea being that when you walk with the Lord, we are safe from evil, secure in his care, because where God's shadow is, that's where God is. Verse 2. Notice verse 2. We have to make these things our own. We have to claim them for ourselves. We have to write our own name here. I will say of the Lord. Will you say of the Lord? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Psalms 18 and verse 2 says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." All of my safety is in the Lord. That's the idea. All of my safety is there. You know, some trust in chariots, some in horses, some in Republicans. Some in the politician's promises, some in trust in human abilities, human technologies. But here's what he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. The idea is he is all of our safety. All of our safety is in him. All of our security is in him. It's not in anything or anyone else. He is my God. And we're not ashamed to declare Amen. That we are God's children, that we are Christians, that we are believers in the scripture. He is my God. In him will I trust. That's more than a slogan stamped on a coin. In God we trust. Let's make sure it's stamped on our hearts as well, very deeply. In God we trust. Amen. Our safety, our security, it's in the Lord and the Lord alone. Look, verse 3. Look at the promise here to all who abide in him and trust in him. Surely, that carries with it the idea of certainty. Absolutely, surely, he shall deliver thee. Deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Deliverance from all the snares, the devil's snares and traps and plots and schemes. Here, it seems to indicate that we might be as weak and simple as a small bird that can be so easily lured into a deadly trap, you know, the fowler's net. That's what the fowler did. He went out with a net to trap birds, capture them and eat them. And there are many traps that the enemy of our soul sets. But God is with us and God is for us and we stay close to him. Do not wander, do not stray. Do not lag behind. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from all the devil's traps and schemes. And look, there's a lot of schemes the devil sets to try to do us harm. Amen. A lot of temptations he wants us to fall in. His intent is always to do us harm, to do us evil. There is a devil who plots against us. Amen. But there is a God who will protect and preserve us. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. How many times God has delivered us from traps we don't even know were set for us. And he delivered us. One day we'll know. But, I mean, there's some things we know, but probably the majority of things, of schemes and ploys and plots and traps that the devil has set for us, we don't even know. And yet God has kept us and delivered us and preserved us. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, all the devil's schemes and ploys and the evil men that seek to do you harm. Right. I was at a pastor's meeting this past Friday with a few of the brothers from the church, and Brother Babu spoke at the meeting, and he gave a little bit of his testimony about some of the dangers that he has faced in India. And at one time, he got into a cab. He told us of an incident where he got into a cab and told the person where to take him, but he wasn't aware that he got into the cab of a devil. And this person had determined he was going to take him off to a desolate place and rob him and probably kill him, because this apparently happens in India and I'm sure in other countries as well. So the fella took off, took him out in some deserted place, and when he asked him where was he going, the man just very angry just told him to shut up and be quiet, and he took him into a desolate place where Babu said he prayed, and apparently when the man stopped, someone in a white robe walked out to him and demanded he let Babu go. And he apologized to the man, and Babu was able to get out of the cab and leave. And y'all remember him sharing that particular testimony. I may not have done it justice, but that was the gist of the story. He was released, and he said when he escaped from that place, he looked for the man in the white garment and could not find him. He was nowhere to be found. You know, I couldn't help thinking of, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. How many evil people plot and scheme against the believer? And notice he doesn't stop there. Not only will he deliver us from the snare of the fowler, but also from the noisome pestilence. These are the deadly plagues, the destroying horrors, the frightening diseases that can ravage not only individuals, but families and communities. Surely, certainly, he will deliver thee. I'll tell you, beloved, there are dangers that no one but God can preserve us from. You can take all the precautions you want to say, well, you know, I'm going to keep myself from bad areas where crime is going on. I'm going to bar my windows. I'm going to put a wall around my house. It's going to be 10 feet high with razor wire on the top. I'm going to have Dobermans inside the wall. I'm going to carry a gun every place I go. But what about the noisome pestilence? Can you keep the disease? Can you keep the germs from coming in the air? There are thousands of dangers and 10,000s of diseases so horrible, so mysterious. I was trying to look up just how many diseases do we know that there are. There's no limit. There's no limit. 10,000 just kind of puts your toe in the water. There are tens and hundreds of thousands of diseases, so mysterious, many we don't know how people get them. Many we don't know how people can be cured of. I read that over 5 million people a year die from just the three major infectious diseases, tuberculosis, malaria, and AIDS. 5 million a year just from those three. But here's what the Bible says. Surely he shall deliver thee from the noisome pestilence. He will deliver you. The word means to catch you away, to snatch you away, to rescue you, to remove you. It means to deliver you. And you know, just as there are diseases that ravage the body, there are also diseases that ravage the soul. Deadly errors, religious heresies, doctrines of devils, too many to know, let alone to count, or the deadly pestilence of sin that ravages so many people's lives, destroys their soul, destroys their families, destroys their loved ones, because one person in the family, one husband, one father, one mother, one wife can ravage the entire family because of the deadly pestilence of sin that they won't repent of. Amen. But here's what the Bible says. Surely he will deliver you. You know, if you'll call out to him, there's deliverance. If you will ask him, he is a deliverer. You have to want to be free. I've come to learn this. There are some people I can't set free. I mean, even with all the authority I believe the Lord gives me in Christ, I can't set them free because they don't want to be free. Amen. But I'm also convinced of this, that there's not a demon in hell strong enough or powerful enough to stay when a child of God wants them to go. If you want them to go, they cannot stay. But if you make room for them, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Don't you give him room in your life. You make room, he's staying. But when you're sick and tired of being oppressed, vexed, depressed, bound up, and you're ready to be free, then you ask the Lord to forgive you for all of your sins, and you command that devil to go in the name of Jesus. And there's no power, he has no power to stay. When the name of Jesus and your heart, you want him to go, he can't stay. He's got to go. He will deliver you. Praise God. And the Bible says in verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He will cover you with his feathers. It's not that God has feathers, but it's an illustration, and it's a beautiful illustration. It's an illustration of parental love. And you know what the picture is? It's the picture of the hen that will keep her chicks right under her wings to protect them from all harm. You know, I walk this canal in front of my house every morning with that little chihuahua that I have. And we watch the little mother ducks with their babies. I love watching them because, you know, they're always hatching, and I'll see a little mother duck and she'll have maybe a dozen little bitty ducklings, and they walk right behind the mama. When mama turns right, babies turn right. Mama turns left, babies turn left. They right behind it, and they are as cute as can be. And I even pray, Lord, protect those little ducks. Because I'll tell you why. It's because the next day when I walk, there's going to be 8 of them. There's 12 one day, there's 8 the next day. And the next day there's 6. And the next day there's 4. And some days I see the mama and there's no babies. You know why? There's so many dangers out there. There's hawks always flying around want to eat those babies. There's cats in the neighborhood. These stray cats want to eat those babies. The mama takes them in the canal and there's big old fish in there that'll swallow those babies. An alligator. They face so many dangers. They cross the street, a car rolls over them. So I pray, Lord, I honestly do that. Lord, have mercy on those baby ducks. They're so vulnerable. They're so weak. And that's what the Lord compares us to. He compares us to those baby ducks, those baby chicks. And the Lord says he'll cover us with his feathers and keep us safe from so many dangers, so many harm. We're not even aware of all the dangers around us. Like those stupid little ducks, they don't know. They don't know that car's coming 40 miles an hour. It's going to run them, smash them flatter than a... It's not that the Lord has feathers. But you know, that's an illustration that the Lord Jesus himself used. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which I sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks under his wings. I would have gathered you, but you would not. You refused. The message is very clear. The Lord will protect his people if we will stay close to him. Just like that mother hen. You know the little duckling that wanders off by himself? He's not going to make it. You've got to stay close to the mama if you want to survive. And you and I, we have to stay close to the Lord. You cannot wander off. You cannot think, well, you know, I don't need all of that. I can be a Christian all by myself. Because, you know what I hear all the time? Well, I hear it too often. I am the church. No, you're not. You are not the church no more than I'm the church. The church is the assembly. That's the church. We come together and comprise the church. You are just a part like I'm a part. Together, we are the church. Christ is the head. We are the members. We are all parts. Just like you have a head and then you've got many members, many parts, arms, legs, ears, eyes, toes, fingers. That's what we are. We're each a toe, a finger, a hand, an arm, something. Not just a corn on somebody's foot. We're to be a foot. Our safety is in our nearness to the Lord. He will cover us with His feathers. Under His wings shall we trust. And notice, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, we know what a shield is. Do you know what a buckler is? It's the armor. Just, you have to remember, thousands of years ago, they often wore armor plate. Later in the medieval period, they called it chain mail. Not a chain letter, but, you know, chain mail. Where it was to protect from the blow of a sword or the point of an arrow or the point of a spear. It's somebody's armor and it surrounded you. And that's the picture here, that truth will surround us and keep us safe. It's our shield. It's our armor. The truth. And the truth is what? John 17:17. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Thy word is truth. God's word, God's truth. It's very important, isn't it? It's why truth must be emphasized. It's why the word of God must be emphasized at all times. Not just our feelings and whims and personal ambitions, but what does the Bible say? Because that is the truth. And that is our protection. We stand on God's truth. We're surrounded by it. The truth keeps us. It protects us. You'll know the truth, and the truth will. Verse 5. This is a promise. You could say it's a declaration. You might even say it's a command. Thou shalt not be afraid. I like it as a promise. Thou shalt not be afraid. I like it as a declaration. I like it even as a command. Where we're told, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Thou shalt not be afraid. You know what this is a promise of? That God will free us from fear. He will free us from fear. And fear is a terrifying... I mean, it paralyzes. He will free us from fear. And fear, as you know, we are as frail as those little ducklings following the mama ducks around. So vulnerable, so weak, so totally dependent. But he says, if we walk close to him, remember, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. And as you know, there are special dangers that lurk in the night. The terror that stalks in the night. The night holds many, many many dangers. Many evil creatures come out in the night to hunt prey. Not just evil four-legged creatures, but evil two-legged creatures come out in the night to hunt prey. Many, many dangers lurk in the darkness. And always in the darkness, man's apprehension rises. Because we know that evils can lurk in the dark. You know, the robbers, the thieves, and there are so many dangers that can rob us of our sleep and our rest and our peace. I mean, if you just start thinking about all the things that could happen, sometimes you have to turn your mind off, right? All the things that could happen, it'll torment you and fill your heart with fear and worry, and you'll be pacing the floor, unable to sleep. But the Bible says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. You know, to be free from fear is such a tremendous blessing. Just in itself, to be rid of fear. What a blessing, what a privilege, what a joy, what a burden lifted to just be free from fear. And that's the promise. You won't be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. There are daylight dangers as well. Enemies that would seek to point their deadly arrows at the heart of the believer. They want to aim their weapons right at you and bring you down. Thankfully, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Praise God. There are daytime dangers and pitfalls that can bring us down. I mean, dangers can strike us at any time. But, you know, during the day, you're at work, you're around people, you're interacting. There's the danger to let something irritate you. There's the danger to let something make you mad. And you have this little flash of anger where you explode on somebody. You say something you shouldn't have said. You respond in a way you shouldn't. There are all kinds of dangers in the day. There's the danger of pride raising itself up and just... I know y'all don't face those things, but some of the rest of us, we have to deal with that, you know. But there are daytime dangers that we may not face so much at home, at night. You know, at night, it has its own dangers. That's when the thoughts bombard your mind. In the daytime, it's the people you have to deal with. At night, it's the thoughts, you know, you have to deal with. But you don't have to be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, because you know that's the devil shooting those fiery darts at you, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. The plague of horrible diseases that stalks the night. Amen. To afflict, to infect, to bring destruction and putrefaction. So many horrible diseases. We don't know how sometimes these things creep in or how they spread. How did somebody get this strange, rare disease? Where did that come from? How did they get that? We don't know how these things happen. What we do know is there's no place to hide except under the shadow of the Almighty. The one place to hide. Lord, keep me safe. Lord, keep me close. It's not like you can run from disease. God says, thou shalt not be afraid, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Let others panic, you pray. Let others fear, you exercise faith. You trust in the Lord. Verse 7, here's what will happen. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. But it shall not come nigh thee. But it shall not come nigh thee. Death and destruction can occur all around you in a whirlwind around you. Beloved, write your name right here. Write your name on these promises. Don't listen to all the doubts, fears, and what ifs and what fors. Just write your name on these promises. Amen. Latch hold of them. All the mercy, all the rivers of thy mercy I claim. On every promise, write my name. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And there are people who fall all around us. Many are falling into a great plague of moral evil. Amen. And they're falling into deception of a thousand different variations. Many backsliding, many backsliding. This is just going to continue, the Bible says, as the heart of many will wax cold, as we race into the end times. There are going to be people falling all around. They're already are churches even falling. falling into delusion, deception, false doctrine, error, false practices, people's hearts growing cold towards the scriptures, falling into compromise with the world, wanting to please the world rather than please the Lord, falling into sexual immorality,
Amen.
Falling into adultery, falling into divorce, falling into fornication. I like this promise, but it shall not come nigh you. Oh, but it only won't come near you if you walk close to the Lord. Because if you start lingering behind, you start following from afar, and you become very vulnerable. You're like a little helpless duckling, all alone.
Amen.
Y'all still awake, right?
Oh, yeah.
Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. You know, there is also coming, according to the scriptures, there are several scriptures that declare very clearly that there are coming plagues upon the earth. Plagues like came upon Egypt, but these will be worldwide. Even the World Health Organization is fearful from one of the greatest threats that hangs over humanity, and that is a pandemic. They are so afraid that a pandemic will break out and kill not just hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands, but millions and tens of millions and possibly hundreds of millions. It can happen. And according to the Bible, it will happen. In fact, there are several passages. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, the Lord's disciples asked him about what's going to happen in the last days. And here's what he said. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Famine, you know what that is? World hunger. Pestilence, that's plague. Earthquakes, that's what the Lord said. But Revelation chapter 6 speaks of the horsemen of the apocalypse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And you know, you got the red horse, the white horse, the black horse, the pale horse, each of which represents a plague upon the earth of some kind. War, hunger,
right.
Pestilence,
Amen.
Death. In fact, the Bible says a fourth of the world's population will die by these plagues. Now we're talking a billion plus.
Wow.
Here's what the Bible says. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why is that? It's because, verse 9, you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. God's going to make a difference, just like he made a difference in Egypt between the people of Israel and the Egyptians. He made a difference. The death angel passed over those who were under the blood on their doorposts and windows. The death angel passed over. God is going to again make a difference. For those who are under the shadow of the Almighty, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1665, this is late 17th century, the Great Plague struck London. About 100,000 people died very quickly, one out of four in the city of London, one out of four. One out of four died from the plague. It got so bad that about 1,200 people a day were dying from the plague. 8,000 a week dying. All day, all night. Everybody stayed inside because of the plague. They were so afraid. They didn't know how it was being spread. They just knew everybody was dying. People tried to stay inside to hide from the plague, but it spread so rapidly. But they said the one sound that rang in everybody's ears all the time was the sound of wagons going through the streets all day, all night, carrying away the bodies of the dead. They said that there wasn't enough daylight hours to bury them because there was so many. You're losing 1,200 people a day, 1,200 graves a day. They couldn't bury that many in a single day. They had the torches burning all night trying to bury the dead. They finally had to resort to mass graves as death ravaged London until 1/4 of the population was dead. But Spurgeon wrote that the Puritan preachers of the time claimed Psalms 91, verses 7, 8, and 9, and they went out on the streets and preached repentance. They preached mercy if you will turn to God. They preached judgment if you will not. And the Lord preserved them.
Thank you, Lord.
Claiming that 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eye will I see and behold the reward of the wicked, because I've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation.
Thank you, Lord.
There shall no evil befall thee. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Don't ever doubt that God blesses the faithful. Don't ever doubt it. And on that particular verse, Spurgeon wrote, he wrote this, "It is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. The most crushing calamities can only shorten his journey and hasten him to his reward. Ill to him is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil in the strict sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled by good and for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure where others are in peril. He lives where others die." You know, it doesn't mean that the believer never experiences loss or trial or adversity or setbacks, because we know only too well that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But that's not the end of the verse. "But God delivers him out of them all." Nothing ever comes our way except by divine permission.
Amen.
Nothing occurs in your life that the Lord himself has not allowed, and that he will not turn out for your ultimate good. Lay hold of this promise, beloved. Make it your own. The Bible says, verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways." That is, everywhere you go, every road you travel, as long as you're walking with the Lord,
right,
following the Lord, you never walk alone.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
You walk in submission to God. You walk in obedience to his word.
Yep.
When you abide in the Lord, you are safe. You are safe. He will protect and preserve us. In fact, he says here, he'll give his angels charge over you. He will command them. He will assign them. And not only will we be free from the major attacks, but notice verse 12, "They'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against the stone." Even from the so-called minor things become major things when all they do is fill your body with pain. You ever broke a toe?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a toe. It's no big deal. I can ignore it. No, they throb. Ever break a finger? Ever cut yourself just on your fingertip? I mean, minor things can become major irritants and obstacles. But here's what he says: "I'll keep you in 1,000 ways you don't even know. I'll keep you and preserve you and protect you, even from the minor things, because they can cause major discomfort." Psalms 91. You know this passage right here. They'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against the stone. You know, this is the passage the devil quoted to the Lord. Matthew 4, Luke 4. The devil said, just get up there on the temple and jump off, because he says he'll give his angels charge over you. They'll keep you in all your ways. You won't even dash your foot against the stone. Just jump off the temple. And the Lord said, the Bible also says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You don't get out of the divine will. That's the idea. Don't get out of God's will. You want to stay under divine protection? Then you stay in the divine shadow. You follow the Lord. You stay with Him. You'll be safe. I also noticed that the devil didn't quote verse 13 to the Lord, you know, because verse 13 says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Who's the lion? Who's the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Who's the dragon? Who's the serpent? That old serpent, the devil, Revelation chapter 12. The dragon, Revelation chapter 12. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the devil. Thou shalt tread on serpents and scorpions. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have authority. Praise God. The last three verses here, God Himself speaks. And listen to these words. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. God Himself says, I will deliver Him. Not because we're perfect, not because we're flawless, without fault, but because He has set His love upon me. The Bible says we're to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all of our being. Love God first, foremost, and everything in between. Love God. Love God with all of your heart. And if you do, here's what God says. The one who has set His love upon me, the whole of His heart upon me, I will deliver him. He says, furthermore, he says, I will set him on high. Now this really has a twofold meaning. I will set him on high. It means I will remove him. I'll set him up out of harm's way. But it also means I will promote him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. You'll never get a busy signal. You'll never get, leave a message, I'll get back to you. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. That means not just long life, but good life.
Thank you, Lord.
And show him my salvation. Six I wills there that he mentions. Six. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I will answer him. I will be with him. I will deliver him. I will honor him. I will satisfy him with a long life. I will show him my salvation. It's all good. I'd write my name right there. Lord, on every promise, write my name. Let me write my name on everyone. Let Psalms 91 be my motto and my theme. Let these words ring in my ears at all times. That God will keep us as we follow Him. God will surround us and protect us as we serve Him. As we stay close to Him. I believe we would be wise to think of ourselves as those little ducklings so vulnerable, so weak, so frail, surrounded by a thousand dangers, and our only hope for survival. Stay close.
Amen.
Close to the Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What can harm us under that shadow?
Nothing.
Hallelujah. Father, we pray today that you will remind us often of these great promises. Lord, let us follow after you with all of our heart. Let us set our hearts, our love upon you. Let us live our lives for you and to you. Lord, let us be vessels in your hands for your use. Lord, forgive us for wherever we've strayed, however we've failed. Wash us clean. And we thank you, Lord, that you invite us always and ever into the secret place, the holy place of your presence. Let us not only enter in, but let us stay there, Lord, we pray, in your presence, in your presence. Lord, on these promises, on each verse, write our name, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm going to